wouldn't lose any of their offspring, that the crops would grow, you know, everything would be good. And he said, if you don't, if you disobey me, then everything's going to be bad. The reason for the judgment of God in verses 14 and 15, we're talking about the judgment of God that wherever they went, they were oppressed. God enabled enemy nations to overthrow Israel, to oppress them. The Bible, verse 15 says they were greatly distressed. And the reason for that was the judgment of God. And the reason for the judgment of God was to bring them to repentance. Sometimes, even today, when those who are lost feel conviction for their sin, they think that God is being mean to them, you know, that he's punishing them for what they've done. Well, the truth is, sin brings its own punishment. The judgment of God is for the purpose of repentance, so that we might come to understand that we need to confess our sins and repent and turn back to him. That was the reason for all throughout the book of Judges. There'll be the judgment of God, and the purpose for that is so that Israel will repent. Verse 16 says, nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. A judge, at this time, a judge was a military leader as well as a civil judge, an arbitrator of civil disagreements. I said a while ago, there were no succession of judges. A judge would come on the scene for the purpose of God, and when that purpose was done, the judge would die, and Israel might go for years and years without a judge until they came to a moment where they needed to repent, and then God would raise up a judge again. So it wasn't like they appointed a judge one right after another. It was God raising them up as was necessary. At verse 17, and yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. Israel didn't always follow their judge. Sometimes they would rebel even when there was a judge. But God would always bless the judge because the purpose of the judge was the fact that Israel had repented. And verse 18 says, by reason of their groanings, Israel's groanings, God would have compassion on them. I don't know what the word is, sympathy or compassion. And so he'd send a judge to deliver them, even though Israel didn't always follow the judge. When they did, when Israel was obedient to the judge as well as to God, then God would deliver them. One of the things that I want to point out in verse 18 is the mercy of God. You know, usually when we are in the Old Testament, we think of God in the Old Testament as judging and vengeful and, you know, sort of the wrathful God. All throughout the Old Testament, there's also the mercy of God. And I want you to notice what it says in the end of verse 18. It says, for it repented the Lord because of the groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. Now, when we go through this book of Judges, this is a repeated cycle. Israel repents, God delivers. Israel rebels, God judges. Israel repents, God delivers. Time after time after time again. And still God would deliver. Still God would hear their cries for help. And still God would deliver them, knowing full well how many times they had done it and knowing full well that they were going to do it again. Still God was merciful. I think we can find comfort in that for us today, because sometimes we fail God repeatedly. And sometimes we begin to wonder, you know, I wonder how many times God's going to be merciful. How many times is God going to hear me? Well, I do think it's a dangerous thing to repeatedly sin and fail God. But I also know that God is merciful and gracious and kind, and he forgives us repeatedly when we come to him. Verse 19, and it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned, that is, Israel returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers, in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. Verse 19 is a very important verse because of one phrase. It says that after whoever the judge was, after his or her, there were female judges, after their time of judgeship was up and after they passed away, then Israel would once again rebel against God, and it uses the phrase, corrupted themselves more than their fathers. Now that's not just a one-time issue, you understand. There's generation after generation after generation that corrupted themselves more than the generation before them. In other words, Israel got progressively worse. And that is the nature of sinful man. That is the pattern of sinful man. Sinful man does not naturally get better. He does not naturally improve. He naturally gets worse. You remember again in the Old Testament at the very beginning of mankind's history, man began to sin. Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. And each generation got progressively worse and worse and worse until finally God said that the thoughts of man's heart is only evil continually. And so he brought judgment. He killed all of mankind except for Noah and his family. Well, the same thing is happening from the moment that Noah got off of the ark to today. Each generation of man has become progressively worse and worse. And it will continue that way until, again, God will decide that that's enough. And He once again will call a halt to the to mankind. He will end the world and end mankind's time on this earth. Verse 20 says, by the way, just a little side note. when you study eschatology, eschatology is the study of end times. There's the postmillennial and the premillennial thought. Before World War II, there was the panmillennial thought. Now, that sounds like a joke, but it's not. The panmillennial thought was that man was going to naturally and get better and improve, and the world was going to improve and get better until finally on earth would become utopia, on earth would become heaven, and God would reign. After World War II, we began to realize Bible scholars and men began to realize that that probably was not the case. And so that sort of teaching, that doctrine sort of began to fade out and is certainly not prevalent today. Okay, that didn't have anything to do with that. Just came to my head. Verse 20. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. You will remember that when the children of Israel under the direction of Joshua came into the promised land, we read this, I think, at the beginning of the book of Judges, and certainly in other cases we've read how each tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel would leave some of the Canaanites. They wouldn't completely destroy them. They wouldn't completely drive them out of the land, which God had told them to do. But instead they would leave them. In some cases they'd make them their servants to try to make their own lives easier and things like that. Well, these verses tell us that because of the sin of Israel, part of the disobedience and part of that was leaving those nations there, God decided to not completely drive those people out, but to leave them there that He might prove Israel. Those folks were going to be sort of a test to the nation of Israel. And that certainly is what's going to happen. Now, I'm going to try to go just a little bit further, and we're going to get to our first judge. We don't say too much about the first judge of Israel. So chapter 3. Now, these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know, to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. All that says is that God's going to leave these nations, and as a result of that, the generations of Israelites who had not known war were going to know war because of those who were left. Verse 3, namely, five lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians, and the Hivites, that dwelt in Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering in of Hamath, and they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. Verse 5 was not God's plan. God's plan was for the Israelites to go into the promised land and be obedient to him. And as they were obedient to him, God would completely drive out all of the Canaanites, and the Israelites would obey in doing that. But the Israelites disobeyed, and so God left some of them, and they were a problem for the Israelites, just like God said they would be. Verse 6 is proof of that. They, that is the Israelites, took their daughters, the Canaanites, took the daughters of the Canaanites to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves. Balaam, we've already talked about, is all of the male gods of the Canaanite people. The groves is a reference to all of the female gods. Apparently it was some at the groves where they worshipped, at least some of the worship of the female gods took place. So, I can't get my breath. So the people of Israel began to intermarry with the Canaanites, which God told them not to do. And here's why. God said, don't let your daughters marry their sons and the vice versa. I can't even think of that. He said, don't let that happen, because if they do, they will influence your children to worship their gods. Verse 6, they did it. Verse 7, they worshiped their gods. And it seems like, in verse 7, it seems like that the worship of the false gods by the Israelites was complete. I mean, it just seems like they embraced all of the gods of the Canaanite people. And I suppose, honestly, I suppose if you're going to worship one, you might as well worship them all, right? Because they, each god was the god over something. Baal may have sort of been the head god, but they would have god of the crops, they'd have god of water, they'd have gods of fertility, they'd have gods of prosperity, whatever it was. So if you're going to worship one, you might as well worship them all, you know, sort of cover all your bases. And that's what the Israelites had done. Verse 8. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served at Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. Now, one thing that I want you to notice, besides that guy's crazy name, is the 8 years. This is the first instance of God delivering the Israelites into the hands of an enemy nation, at least in the time of the judges. And the first instance of it, they served the king of Mesopotamia for 8 years. Now, there's a couple of things about that. First of all, you're going to notice that the times of service get longer. I suppose the Israelites adjusted to being servants. They adjusted to being oppressed, and so it took longer for them to get tired of it, I guess, is the way we would say it. But the thing that stands out to me in the very first one, this very first one, the king of Mesopotamia, it took them 8 years to come to their senses. It took them 8 years to call upon God for deliverance. We already said just a few verses ago that each generation got worse and worse and worse, and already in maybe the first or second generation that we're in when this takes place, already their hearts are so hardened that it takes 8 years for them to come to their senses and repent and ask God for help and ask God for deliverance. I read that and I think about that, and you know, we can look around at others, and sometimes if we would be honest, we can look around at our own lives, and we can see God working and God dealing, and sometimes God has to literally knock us off our feet to get our attention before we'll come to Him in repentance. And sometimes even then, we won't do it. Man has not changed. Man has not gotten better. Man has naturally gotten worse, just like these Israelites did, and just like God knew that we would. And so Israel is a picture of all of humankind throughout all of history. Verse 9, "And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord after 8 years, the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother." Now, Othniel was the son of Kenaz. He was also Caleb's son-in-law. If you'll remember, I don't remember when we talked about that, but sometime we talked about that Othniel was also Caleb's son-in-law. So, probably no coincidence that one of the two spies who told Israel that they could inhabit the promised land, his son-in-law, is the first judge of Israel that God uses to deliver the Israelites. Verse 10 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him," that is upon Othniel, "and he judged Israel and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed against Cushan-Rishathaim, and the land had rest 40 years. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died." God delivered the Israelites through Othniel. He defeated Cushan-Rishathaim, and they had peace for 40 years, verse 11. So for 40 years, Othniel served as the judge of the nation of Israel. He led them in the path of obedience to God, and they followed him for those 40 years. Or at least they followed them for most of those 40 years, and then they began to rebel again. And the Bible says, right at the end of verse 11, that Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. And you'll notice the next verse, and we're not going to go any further than this, but you'll notice it says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord." When the judge died, who was leading them in obedience to God, they almost immediately turned in rebellion to God. And so the cycle begins with the nation of Israel. Now the next judge is the left-handed judge. You don't want to miss his story. It's interesting and gross all at the same time. Thank you for coming tonight. If you'll stand, we'll be dismissed.